Friends, Mercedes here, and I'm going to talk to you guys about an awesome, rad, much-needed company called Sheltered Co. Sheltered Co. was created by a mother for her autistic daughter. It's crocheted by hand in Los Angeles with deadstock fabric with no added fillers. This is a weighted blanket that helps children and adults regulate their body from stresses of everyday life. It also helps with better sleep, and you guys, it's gorgeous to look at and will make any room in your home look cozier and more comfortable. Please, if you're in the market for a weighted blanket, and even if you're not, but you need better sleep and to regulate your body or your child's body, please head over to shelteredco.com. Use the discount code LUCKYFEW15 for 15% off and purchase yourself a beautiful quality blanket. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of Lucky Few Podcast, where we are shifting the narrative by shouting the worth of people with Down syndrome. This is Mercedes.
And Heather.
And Micah.
And today we are joined once again by our most frequent guest, who we appreciate so much, Dr. Spinazzi. We're chatting all about how to keep our kiddos with Down syndrome healthy while traveling. We are so excited to chat with her, and thank you for joining us, friends. Welcome to the Lucky Few Podcast.
Okay, parents, educators, pastors, friends, everybody listening, we are headed back to school. It is time, back to school. I'm so excited that as we head back to school, my new children's book, Different, A Great Thing to Be, will also be making its way into classrooms. I believe this book is a great resource as we help our kids navigate the school year as they have opportunities to notice, embrace, and celebrate the different in themselves and in their classmates and those around them. And I trust this book will serve as a powerful tool to help you do just that. And to be sure, here at the Lucky Few, we've created a different classroom kit full of additional resources for you to download and use to create a whole different kind of lesson for our kids and our students. Here's what we have included in our different classroom kit. We have a different conversation guide, which helps get the conversation going with you and your students, a different self-portrait, a different kind of bingo, a tell me more about that writing activity, a writing activity that what I like about you, and printable kindness cards that you can print, cut out, send home with your students, and have your students send to one another. All of these items are available to you for free. This is a free resource we've created to go along with the book, Different, A Great Thing to Be. You can head to heatheravis.com/different to download this free resource guide and print these out to use in your home, your classroom, your churches, wherever you want to use them, because friends, different is a great thing to be.
Well, hey everybody.
Hi.
We're tiptoeing into real life. Summer is officially over for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like just at the edge. I'm teetering on the edge of summer. And yesterday some leaves fell in my yard.
Some leaves.
Exciting.
The times are changing.
Oh my gosh.
But we're talking about traveling today. I know we've all kind of, our travels are coming to an end at the end of the summer, but some things have come up for us this summer. And we wanted to have this conversation with Dr. Spinazzi. But I'm wondering just in general what you ladies do to get ready to travel with your kiddos.
I'll share something. So I think now in preparing in terms of like health for our kids, I always bring Cold Calm. Are you guys familiar with Cold Calm? It's like a homeopathic.
Yes.
It's like these little white sugar pills. Well, they have beads, but they also have like a more like a little round pill, powdery, dissolves under your tongue kind of thing. It all could very much be a placebo, but I swear by Cold Calm. And I just keep it with me because the second my kids start to like sneeze or get it, or I'm like, I know each of my kids right before they get a cold, they each have their own symptoms. And it's, I swear when we use Cold Calm, it works. Love Cold Calm. And all my essential oils go with me everywhere. My main ones are clove, oregano, On Guard, if I'm using doTERRA brand, and Melaleuca, tea tree, and a digestion one. Those are like, and lavender. Those are with me every time we travel. And then Augie's on an inhaler that he takes like preventatively. He takes it every day. And then we bring an albuterol inhaler as well for an emergency inhaler. And that's what we do now. Macy's just strong as an ox, but, and truly God bless, truly like her immune system's unreal. She just, it's such a blessing.
Yes.
But when Macy was a baby, she was on oxygen and we traveled with oxygen. We went on a train when she was little because we couldn't fly with her oxygen. And then we got this portable oxygen tank to be able to go on an airplane with it. And we didn't know that it had a 2-hour battery life. And we went to Hawaii, which is a 5-hour flight. And 2 hours in, the oxygen stopped. And we're like, I don't know what to do. And so then the we were the people on the plane that the flight attendant's like, are there any doctors on, any doctors on board? Any doctors on board? Anyways, it was fine. But we have traveled with full on oxygen. And those are, we used to have those tools. I'm thankful we don't have to anymore.
Yes.
Yes. That's what about you?
I'm terrified now. I'm having a heart attack over here, like thinking about being on the plane and running out of oxygen.
Yeah, I know. My heart all of a sudden had palpitations. Oh, too. Like
everyone was
is
fine.
She breathing.
Yeah. Everyone was good.
Right. We know her. We love her. She's alive and well at school as we speak. So. Yes. Same. I do oils and then humidifier. We usually have a humidifier and some sort of like nose sucker thing. The boys are usually like, yeah, strong as ox immune system. Sunflowers are one that just takes a turn for the worse. So I'll bring, yeah, like her humidifier, nose Frida. What else? Her inhaler. And then just more recently, the past two times we've traveled, her, the pulse ox to monitor her oxygen. And then usually some gluten-free bread.
Yeah.
I travel with some gluten-free bread.
Me too.
And almond butter. Cause when in doubt, she has that. yeah, I think those are our main stuff that we travel with, and band-aids, because no matter what, if my kids are crying, if I put a band-aid somewhere on their body, they're happy and they feel better.
I feel like we all have very similar things that we're throwing in our bags. Yes to the albuterol, yes to the preventative inhaler for Ace and for Brooksy. Brooksy also has asthma at my house. And then I love the Cold Calm. I should be traveling with the Cold Calm, but I don't. So I'm going to put that in my back pocket after I listen to what Dr. Spinazzi has to say too. I'll make a whole list. And yes to the oils. I agree with doTERRA On Guard is just my best friend. And it smells so good too. And Melaleuca, although I never can pronounce it correctly. I always put it on his ears to keep from... to help prevent the ear infections. And I also travel with prednisone. You guys know prednisone, like the liquid steroid. That is my big thing, because Ace will have a tiny little piece of snot rolling out of his nose before bed and wake up 2 hours later with a full-on croup attack. Mm. And it happens so fast. And I just always carry this liquid steroid because that has kept us from having to go to the ER for the past few years whenever he wakes up with croup. And I hope that it's not forever. Surely someday he's going to grow out of croup. But it's still like as soon as he gets a stuffy nose, his little nasal passages and breathing passages just react that way so fast.
Yeah, totally. So
that's our big scary thing at our house. And I always have it on hand. Mm-hmm. Travel.
Augie has had that too. And I know they're different kids, but Augie has grown out of it. It's very rare. It used to be every time you got a cold, same thing, like, oh, a little tiny, is that a runny nose? And then we're like in the ER at midnight because he can't breathe. It happens so fast, but he has grown out of it mostly. So hopefully we're hoping that for Ace. I think he will. But let's not let me be the doctor, because Dr. Spinazzi is here with us today. And before we go to that interview, we're going to read one of your sweet reviews. This is from Tamara in Gold. Tamara says, I just found this podcast and I'm not sure how I have been without it. As a parent to a preteen boy with Down syndrome, this is exactly what I need in my life. Tamara in Gold, I'm glad you found us. I don't know how you survived so far either. Maybe with an inhaler and some essential oils, but we're grateful that you found us. For our listeners, don't forget to review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And then maybe we will read your review out loud next week. We really love and appreciate all the support you always give us.
All righty, ladies. So without further ado, is that how you say it? Anyways, let's jump into our interview with Dr. Spinazzi. Okay, I'm so excited to talk with you, Dr. Spinazzi. I'm so excited. As a reminder, she is a primary care physician at the UCSF, which is University of California, San Francisco Children's Hospital. She's also the medical director of Charlie's Clinic, a Down syndrome specific clinic, as well as the co-director of developmental and behavioral pediatrics resident rotations, and an assistant professor at UCSF School of Medicine. And she's among the many healthcare professionals that have been working hard this past year and a half, currently crazy times, and a new mama. Woo! You might recognize her from episodes 63, 77, and episode 109. Welcome back to the show, Doctor.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Thank you. Okay. This is, you know me, I like to ask all the questions and the kind of the hard ones. So
I'm ready.
I know, because we are still so in COVID right now.
Yeah.
You got the shot. You got the shot while you were pregnant also, which, you know, is so controversial in these crazy times because of just these crazy times. How are you and how is your baby? I just want the world to know.
I am doing fantastic, other than sleep deprivation from having a baby. My baby, Clara Marina, is healthy. She was born healthy and on time and has been thriving. And I am so glad that I got the vaccine while I was pregnant, and I feel so good about breastfeeding Clara and hopefully passing some antibodies to her through the breast milk and continuing to protect her from this terrible disease that is COVID.
And now we're worrying more about the Delta. Yes. And will you tell me about that? Tell us, listeners, from a doctor.
Yes.
Tell us about it, right?
Yes.
It says Instagram.
Thank you for asking me the questions. So, first of all, Delta variant, why is it called Delta? Well, what the World Health Organization has decided to do, because more and more variations of the COVID virus are coming up, is instead of calling them by their country of origin, which first of all, could be inaccurate, but also could spur some racism. Instead, they've chosen to name them using Greek letters. So what we used to know as the UK variant is now called the Alpha variant. And this Delta variant, which we first saw appear in India, is called Delta because Delta is one of the letters of the Greek alphabet. Delta is a tricky one. I want to back up a second and kind of explain what variants are. So viruses have one goal in life. Their goal in life is to enter a body, take over the machinery to make many more copies of itself so that it can then get to more bodies and do the same thing in more bodies. To make more copies of itself, it has to transcribe its information over and over again. So imagine taking a page of text and having to write it over and over again. You're going to make typos, right? That's what the virus does sometimes as it's replicating. It makes typos. And the typos are called variants. One typo could make your page less contagious. It could make it weaker. Those variants don't tend to survive very well because they don't have an advantage over what already exists, right? Sometimes those typos, those variants, make the virus more transmissible. They make the virus make copies of itself more efficiently. They might make the person sicker. And these variants have an advantage over the original version because they're gonna be better at taking over bodies, taking over the machinery, and making more copies of themselves. And that's what happened with the Delta variant. That's why we're concerned about the Delta variant, is because these changes in the virus have made it so that it's much more transmissible. That in one little particle of saliva, there are 1,000 times more virus. So if you get in touch with a particle of saliva from someone who's infected, you are more likely to get enough of the virus to yourself get sick. Mm-hmm. We always knew that with COVID, the more virus you got in touch with, the more likely to get infected you were, and the more likely to get sicker you were, right? And so this Delta variant, there's so much virus in the saliva of someone who's sick that it has been so contagious. And so a person who's sick is gonna, on average, infect many more people than the original COVID. And because it's more contagious, we are seeing also what are called breakthrough infections, which is infections in someone who has had the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Then why go and get the vaccine, Amy? I mean, I didn't want it in the first place. I was worried about it. I asked you all these questions about it last time. What you're telling me is that I just should go ahead and not get it. Absolutely not. The rate of infections in those who are unvaccinated is exponentially higher than it is in those who are vaccinated. So as a vaccinated person, I'm still much more protected than someone who's not gotten the vaccine. And of the people who are in the hospital now, and there are a lot in many states, the hospitals are full and the ICUs are again full. 98 to 99% of those who are in the hospital and in the intensive care units are unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. So the vaccine is still protecting me from getting sick, although it's not as good as it was with the other variants.
Right.
But most importantly, if I get COVID, I'm much less likely to get really sick with COVID, and I'm much, much, much less likely to be in the hospital or die from COVID. And as a mom, you know, with a child being completely dependent on me, those are still very important things. And I'm so glad that I'm vaccinated.
Yeah. You know, we're still in these cautious times to where if you found out your friend was exposed, but you were supposed to have a play date, then you're kind of like, no, I can't see you, you know, and why we wanted to do this episode is with the school year starting, the Delta variant, even California kind of being, you know, we're open again, like mask free if you want. Everybody has a choice to make, you know, but public schools are going back in their masks being the what's required, but private schools, everything's kind of open. Disneyland's open, you know, Legoland, like things are open. And so I know when we got back out there, Sunny got sick, and what happened? She got pneumonia. Because that's her, a little bit of her trend, you know, a cold, especially if it's a flu, any kind of virus like that, it goes straight to her lungs. And one of the things that I had on hand in my toolbox was a pulse ox thing. So I could see how she was breathing. Cause I'm like, oh, you look bad. And I've seen this before, but it honestly had been like a year and a half. Honestly has been since a year and a half. I almost forgot. I'm like, oh, maybe she kind of grew out of it, you know, like kind of a thing. And then it all came rushing back where it's like, okay, now she was fine. I could tell she was having trouble breathing. I could tell she was coughing. Oh, now she's kind of napping, which is unusual for her. okay, here we are. She's gone downhill. Now we have a choice to make. Do we call the ambulance? Do I drive her? And that's always kind of scary for my husband and I, and we have three other kiddos. We ended up calling the ambulance because that's what we were comfortable with after doing her pulse ox, and she was at 86, 84. And she has been as low as 82 before. And so once we were like, once she hit 84, I was like, I don't, let's call 911. We were also in the mountains at the time. And I didn't know, you know, mountain roads, one way up, one way down. I was like, no, ambulance for sure. And we did that. And luckily, she was at the ER. She was able to stabilize after breathing treatment and we could go home. So it's just, I feel like how many moms out there and dads out there see this with their kiddos with Down syndrome going into this next year, what should we have on hand? So not, I guess, what is our best tools to have on hand come cold season, come like now that the world is acting like it's a little bit more normal, but then now we have the Delta variant. What do you tell your families, Dr. Spinazzi, of, does that make sense to you?
Totally. And you brought up so many things. And so, but that's good. And I want to unpack it a little bit and kind of hit a lot of the points that you brought up. You started by talking about society opening up and, I just want to acknowledge how that can be stressful for a lot of people. It has been stressful for me. I felt a lot more comfortable when people were all wearing masks, regardless of vaccination status, because of how, what a successful added layer of protection a mask is. If we are masked, if I am sick, but I am masked, I'm less likely to transmit the virus. If I am not sick and I'm around someone who's sick, but I am masked, that's an additional layer of protection. Like all layers of protection, there, none of them in itself is perfect, but it made me feel more comfortable. I was so worried when the CDC issued their initial guidance, making masks optional in schools, and so grateful when they kind of changed their tune a little bit and when California Department of Public Health issued their guidelines saying, no, in California, in school, we're going to be wearing masks unless there are medical or developmental reasons that preclude a child from wearing a mask. I was very grateful for that because I think that, because I know based on studies that were done before the vaccine was available, that in school districts that were masking, that were doing thorough contact tracing, and that were being strict about staying home when the kids were sick, there was minimal transmission in school. And when things started to relax, I got worried about what that would look like for school, because I think that school is so essential in the lives of kids, and having school feel like a healthy place, a safe place, a place where we can go back to learning and growing emotionally and socially is really a priority. So I worry about states where the masks are not being recommended in school or even forbidden. And I'm really hoping that through advocacy by my pediatrician colleagues, as well as parents and educators, we're going to be able to reverse some of this. Because again, I think that without masks, we are unlikely to have a successful return to school. So I want to acknowledge that first, because I know that that has been stressful for a lot of parents. So when you're talking about traveling, one thing that I can think about is, well, if you're going to be flying and you're going to be in an airport and then in a crowded airplane, masks. I know that they're mandated, and still, I would want to practice wearing a mask with my kid so that if they're old enough, which is over two, to tolerate them. If they can get them, if they can tolerate them, right? I know that some of our kids really have sensory issues that preclude them from wearing them, or significant drooling issues that make it really uncomfortable. So really working with the kid as much as possible to tolerate the mask as much as possible, because that's going to be a layer of protection. The other thing that you talked about is seeing Sunflower get sick. And how stressful is that, right? And but also what you said is you knew the signs of what it looks like to be sick from a respiratory thing. You mentioned cough, but you also mentioned being tired and taking naps that she usually doesn't take. So I think that that's another important thing for a parent to know, whether you're traveling or not, is kind of knowing what signs to look out for. if a kid is more tired than usual consistently, not just like I was out playing for 3 hours and now I'm taking a longer nap, but more tired than usual, not eating as well, coughing, breathing faster than normal, maybe throwing up, especially cough, 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 bleh, throw up, which suggests a really strong cough. And then more later, more severe signs would be like a bluish tinge to the lips, which would signify low oxygen. What was beautiful is that you knew the signs. And that's what I would recommend every person kind of thinks about is what are the signs of when my kid is sick so that they're kind of on alert for them. And also maybe talking to a doctor about, can you help me kind of go over what signs to look out for that would clue me into my kid perhaps being sick. You had a pulse ox. This is not something that I recommend routinely, but if your kid is a kid who tends to get sick a lot from respiratory issues, or if you're traveling to high altitude, that might not be a terrible idea. You want to make sure it's a good fit, and you want to do some readings when your kid is well to make sure that you know what your kid's baseline is, and to make sure that it's a working pulse ox that fits well. Sometimes the pulse ox will give you a really weird reading that's off, and that's because it's not capturing the true oxygen reading. So you have to wait for the number to be fairly kind of regular and stable and make sense. So you want to practice the pulse ox, not just in the moment when you're super worried about the kid. You want to practice it. Some kids, you know, you put the pulse ox on and they're like, how dare you? And they really fight it. So practice the pulse ox first if your kid is someone who has frequent respiratory issues and or you're traveling to a high altitude. What we know about some of our kids with Down syndrome who tend to get sick with respiratory issues is that they can have what's called the lower reserve. And that's what you're describing as, holy guacamole, she tanked quickly. She got worse quickly, right? If my lungs are generally quite healthy and I never get sick, the one time I get sick, I might have a little bit more reserve before I get totally sick. If I've had other infections, maybe I have asthma, and so I have some inflammation in my lungs. Maybe I'm someone who has known aspiration of liquids into the lungs, and so my lungs are chronically a little bit irritated. Maybe I have significant heart issues, and I've had surgeries, and I have some pulmonary hypertension, which is more common in our kids with Down syndrome. Then those are all things that give us a lower reserve and can make us tank more quickly. I would be extra cautious of these things if I'm traveling to high altitude. High altitude sickness and high altitude pulmonary edema has been documented in our kids with Down syndrome, and more in kids who've had congenital heart disease, even if it's been repaired and doing well, definitely pulmonary hypertension. And then other things that could be contributing are obesity and sleep apnea. We don't have the really big studies that tell us for sure people who have this need to watch out for, but common sense wise, knowing what we know about high altitude, knowing what we know about things that can make it more difficult for kids with Down syndrome to adjust to respiratory illnesses, these are some things that I would think about. If I'm going to high altitude, I might want to acclimate. I might want to have a stop at a place that's at lower altitude first, and then go a little bit higher altitude, and then a little bit higher altitude to acclimate more slowly than I would in someone who doesn't have any chronic respiratory problems. I think in the case of Sunflower, it was probably a bad luck combination of, it was a high altitude, that in itself was a challenge to the respiratory system. Then I got sick, and when I get sick with respiratory things, it tends to cause some sort of, if she responded to a breathing treatment, she probably has some component of asthma or reactive airway disease. And that kind of all hit her together.
It was a perfect storm. And I feel like that's what me and I know other peers, other mamas, when we go on vacation, all of a sudden your kid tanks and you're like, what happened? I didn't even know, you know, and that happened when we were in the mountains. Like, we knew she kind of, maybe I was like, are you acting funny? I don't know. Maybe. And then, cause with having a kiddo with Down syndrome, I feel like you're always riding the line of, are you sick or are you not? How are we acting? You know, and Sunflower is not yet able to tell us what's happening. So then we go, and I have made this correlation, and I kick myself every time when I miss it, coldness. So altitude and cold for sunflower is really difficult. I don't know why.
Cold air. Well, cold air will cause something called bronchospasm, which is when the muscles in your airways start kind of having contractions and spasms, and the air doesn't go down as well. Okay. And so
she'll be shivering, and like we could be like, "Ooh, cold, shivering, get a blanket." Even with the blanket on, purple feet, like getting really cold, like her body does not regulate.
Mm-hmm. Also seen in some people with Down syndrome, some difficulty regulating temperature. But what you asked me, which was the original question, is what should someone bring
when
and tell how to plan? And I just wanted to kind of mention these other things because I thought you said so many important things and I just wanted to do them justice as opposed to just skipping to the question. So what would I bring? If my kid tends to have respiratory issues, I would make sure that we bring our inhaler. Mm-hmm. So a lot of kids have an albuterol inhaler. Other names for it are ProAir or Ventolin with a spacer, which makes it so that the medicine actually gets into the lungs. If someone doesn't have a prescription for an inhaler and when they get sick, they tend to need a treatment, a breathing treatment, I would talk to my pediatrician about, should I have an inhaler, especially if I'm going to somewhere a little bit more remote or I'm traveling. Mm-hmm. If I'm traveling internationally, even more important to have something that can get me out of a bind quickly. So if someone has a diagnosis of asthma and or has previously responded well to breathing treatments, I would have a portable way of providing a breathing treatment. Mm-hmm. If someone tends to get sick frequently from respiratory infections, I think that a portable pulse oximeter is a good idea. The other way to do it is to go to the emergency room if you think that your child may be having respiratory issues. And I don't routinely prescribe prescription pulse oximeters to all of my patients who have had some respiratory issues. If it's something kind of chronic, then it's not a bad idea. If I'm going camping somewhere remote, I would also make sure that I have something that can help keep my child hydrated. So whether it's Pedialyte or Gatorade, when a kid is sick, they often don't want to eat, but we want them to stay hydrated and drink. And when you're breathing faster, you're actually losing liquids and hydration. And so you have to make up for more loss from just the rapid breathing. And or if you have a fever, that also makes you lose more, more liquid from your body. I would bring some easy medicines that can bring down a temperature, whether it's Tylenol or ibuprofen. So a Tylenol is acetaminophen, ibuprofen is Motrin or Advil. Those can also make a kid feel more comfortable if they have pain. If a child takes chronic medications, whether it's a thyroid medicine or a diuretic for heart disease or Miralax for poop or whatever it might be, I would definitely bring all of medications. And I would make sure that we have enough for the trip and some, because I don't know how many times I've heard I forgot it in the hotel or it spilled on the way or something like that. If my child has some chronic medical issues, I would want to research what the closest hospital is and what the closest children's hospital is, just to kind of have an idea of if something happens, how long would it take me to get to a place where I can get help? Mm-hmm. So just have an idea of what that would look like, I think is important, because when your kid is acutely sick, like you said, you're trying to evaluate right then and there, do I call the ambulance or do I drive her? It's hard, right? Because then you got to know, well, how far is it? And and so how much time do I have? So I think that kind of having that sort of planning ahead of time, I think is helpful. As you mentioned, some of our kids with Down syndrome have difficulty with temperature regulation. Some of our kids with Down syndrome sweat less, and so they can get overheated. Mm-hmm. And some of our kids with Down syndrome have a hard time with temperature regulation, might get colder faster. I'm a fan of layers. I live in the Bay Area where layers are a must. Mm-hmm. So just don't just plan for the average weather of where you're going. Bring something lighter and something warmer. And then there's the logistical aspect of traveling. So if you're going to be on a plane for a long time, bring things that are going to keep your kid entertained so that they have an easier time with that. If your child has a dual diagnosis of Down syndrome and autism, they might have a bit of a more difficult time with a change in routine. I know that in Oakland, where I live, there's a aviation museum where you can actually go and sit on planes and get used to how it feels to be on a plane. But you can also use social stories or just other ways of really preparing the kid for what will happen so that when it's time to stay seated for X number of hours on the plane, you know, it's not the end of the world. I think that's where I would start.
I think that's good.
Oh,
I feel
one more thing.
Yay.
Tell your doctor you're traveling, especially if you're traveling abroad. Right. Tell your doctor that you're going to travel and do it not like the day before you're traveling, which happens.
I feel like you're talking to me, Mercedes, and not like the day before. I know, us moms are the worst.
Because in some countries, you actually need special vaccines. If you're going to Mexico, for example, you need the typhoid vaccine to protect you against typhoid fever. If you're traveling to some places in Africa and South America, you need a special vaccine called the yellow fever vaccine, and they're not going to let you in unless you have a yellow fever passport. And these are some things that you kind of want to know ahead of time, because it might be difficult to get an appointment. If you're traveling to a place that has malaria, you might need malaria prophylaxis, either with a daily medicine or a weekly medicine to prevent malaria. The other thing to bring, I would be remiss if I didn't mention this, is safety things like a car seat, especially if you're traveling abroad, because some places are not so invested in things like car seats, and there's different cultures around driving safely in cars. And so having your car seat, having your booster seat with you is going to be important. And then also when you have an appointment with a doctor around traveling, they can give you some advice. If you're going to where I'm from, to Italy, you can drink the water from the tap. But if you're traveling to some parts of Mexico, for example, the bacteria in the water there are very different from what's in our water here. And that difference, our gut is not used to it. And so we can develop traveler's diarrhea, and that will really ruin your vacation. Some countries, when you travel to that country, we actually prescribe traveler's diarrhea medicine in case you get more severe diarrhea with blood in the poop or something like that. So I'm a fan of travel visits. I think that they're very informative, and I think that they're an opportunity for prescribing medicines that you might need, catching up on vaccines that you might need to be safe while traveling. It gives an opportunity to review what to look out for regarding your kid getting sick while gone, and thinking together about who to reach out to while you're traveling.
I like that, travel visits. I don't think I've ever done that. And I think every time that we travel and something like that comes up, because Sunflower is gluten-free and dairy-free, and sometimes when you travel, there is no substituting for that. I could be like, hi, can I have a gluten-free option? They look at me sideways. So like, I could see how like constipation could happen. I mean, that happens with typical, like that happens, can happen to me. I know I'm like, oh, my stomach's off. I've been traveling. I know why. So, knowing that if I have a travel visit that the doctor can prescribe me right then and there, something in preparation in just in case is just smart. And I'm so glad you brought that to my attention, because I don't think I would have done that.
And I think Mercedes, I think that part of it is also putting two brains together. Right. Yes, right. Even the two of us talking, we're
feeding off of each other. Yes, this is true.
Yeah. So it's because not everybody has quick access to their doctor, and some clinics right now are kind of booked because of, you know, COVID having created limitations on appointments, especially in areas where things are surging and anything that's elective has been shut down. But if you don't have access to a doctor, and I hope you do, or an advice nurse, at least having that kind of conversation with your partner, with your mom, with a friend, of saying, hey, let's actually talk this through, you know, because you might come up, like, I hadn't even thought about special diets, but if your kid is on a special diet, you might want to pack a couple extra snacks so that you don't run out. If some of our kids are incredibly picky, and if you don't have the exact right
ketchup
tamal from that store with yes. that color and that wrapper, they're not going to eat. And so you might say, hey, I know it's a little extra to pack a suitcase of these kinds of tamales, but I'll do it because I want my kid to eat, right?
Yes. So. It's so true.
As a traveler, you can, if you're traveling internationally, you can Google CDC travel and then the country. And it actually gives you a list of vaccines that you might need and whether you need malaria prophylaxis and things like that. That might be something that someone can do in preparation for international travel. As far as high altitude, I've seen on the University of Colorado website some helpful information about high altitude because Denver is pretty high up. They actually were a place that published on some cases of high altitude pulmonary edema in some kids with Down syndrome. So as I was preparing for today, I was reading their case reports and kind of checking out their website.
I appreciate you and you giving advice because, like you said, I have been blessed and Kaiser at one time had a really bad rap, but they've really been great to me. So I would like to give them a shout out. And yes, even when the doctors, ERs, they're getting crazy and busy, they've made it extremely helpful to have Zoom call, sure. like, yeah, online. Access to doctors to help. So, and sometimes actually for me as a mom, that's actually more helpful because then yeah. my kids are being crazy in the background, but I'm still getting it done. So, but for those who don't have access, I feel like your information has felt similar to showing up to a doctor's visit. So I thank you so much.
I know that this is where we started, but I would be remiss if I didn't talk about it now again. If you are eligible for the COVID vaccine and you haven't yet gotten vaccinated, I strongly encourage you to get vaccinated. And I'm not talking to you, Mercedes. I'm talking to anybody who will listen.
Yeah. Because
what I have seen as a doctor is a very active misinformation campaign. I don't understand who is benefiting from this misinformation campaign, but there's got to be someone benefiting from it because it seems like there's so many resources deployed to make people believe things that are untrue about this vaccine. And it hurts my heart because I have been literally risking my life since March 2020 to be on the front lines. And I go back to work on Monday and go back to the same thing. Mm-hmm. And now with a child to protect at home. And when people ask me, how do I feel? I could say frustrated. But most of all, I just feel worried. I feel worried for people who are trying to do the right thing by researching about the vaccine and are landing on websites and Facebook pages and social media places that are scaring them by telling them information that is just not true. Mm-hmm. And then they're choosing not to get vaccinated. And they're then getting sick with COVID and getting really sick with COVID and dying from COVID still in August 2021, when there was something that 99% could have prevented their severe illness or death or long-term symptoms from COVID, which we don't talk about enough. Mm-hmm. So I know we have to wrap up, but thank you for letting me say that if you have an opportunity to get vaccinated and you haven't done so yet, for our kids who are going back to school, to give them a chance to actually stay in school as opposed to massive school shutdowns, for your kids, if you're a parent, because they rely on us. And if we are sick, or we're no longer there, then we cannot be there for them. I encourage you to get the vaccine. I know I'm glad I got mine, and I am in awe of the women scientists who for decades have worked tirelessly so that we could have such an incredibly effective vaccine so quickly today.
Thank you. I know. I appreciate you taking the time to say that. Because this is really the first time we've dealt with something like this amongst a social media led world. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, I just described this to a friend that sometimes I open up my Instagram and I feel like I'm reading the Inquirer, mm-hmm. you know, like there's mm-hmm. images and then crazy text to go along mm-hmm. with it of doomsday. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's with everything, like it's not just with COVID. I mean, that's the highlight, but all these different things, you know, and especially being a woman of color too, like, things with like critical race theory and like what is behind the Black Lives Matter and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, you know, and it's just like so charged up right now mm-hmm. amongst also this pandemic, which then yeah. it gets mushed together. Right. Yeah. So then these two things have become a political thing. And it's tragic. And I feel like we're so, we're just having to shift through and sift through so many agendas and lies, but that we have lost reality of who to trust. And that's yeah. It's hard. It's hard to be yeah. an adult having families and going to jobs and blah, blah, and work through that. So yeah. I appreciate you with your sound words of wisdom speaking to our listeners and taking the time to talk to us. I trust you, you know.
Thank you for having me. My only interest is to promote health and safety. It's why I spent my 20s in a library instead of going
at the clubs.
Exactly.
Online dating. No, just kidding.
Really? No, but it's true. So anytime, if there are any questions, call me up and I'll come back.
You're the best. Well, congratulations on your baby girl and going back to work. That's going to be hard. Have you mentally prepared?
I'm working on it.
Oh, I love you. I know that part's hard. So I'll be thinking of you as this Monday comes up.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're the best.
You, as I was telling you earlier, every parent of a child with Down syndrome is the best because they brought a kid with Down syndrome into the world or made a home for a child with Down syndrome. And my admiration and respect for each and every one of you goes beyond words, especially now that I'm a mom myself. So you are the best.
Oh, thank you, doctor. We'll chat soon.
Take care.
Okay, you too. Okay, friends. So, what did you think?
Dr. Spinazzi continues to be one of my favorite humans. I continue mm-hmm. to have a crush on her. It's fine. And she's so brilliant and just comprehensive. She's very mm-hmm. comprehensive in the way she shares information and makes me feel at peace mm-hmm. about like how to move forward. But it was really interesting. I had not ever heard of or realized the altitude mm-hmm. affecting the breathing, and it makes so much sense.
Same, but not until we had experienced it. But then now when I look back and we've done camp trips and stuff where Sunny has gone downhill, I'm like, oh, those have all been camp trips, like up in the mountains.
Yeah. Altitude. Yeah. Yeah. So interesting. Mm-hmm. But she's just such a wealth of knowledge. And I liked what she had to say about the other things to bring with you when you're traveling. Mm-hmm. And she didn't say essential oils, but it's okay.
Oh my gosh. we should talk to her about
recommend that to her.
We'll let her know what she's missing.
Our list. Oh my gosh. Yes.
I also really liked how she talked about having a pre-vacation appointment with your pediatrician. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that, and that mm-hmm. makes so much sense to me.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
I know. A travel visit. I was like, oh wow. Imagine that, to prepare to prepare. Lord help me. I knew there was something I was missing when preparing to go out of town.
Yes.
I did like that too. And that's so smart, because then you're like, it's when you need it that you're like, oh wait, the Buterol has expired. Right. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, if I had gone earlier, I would be caught up on those things and would know. So I liked that tip.
Yeah.
A lot.
For sure.
It was good. I love also talking with her, because even if we come from different views of how to move through this pandemic, she talks with a lot of respect and knowledge. Mm-hmm. And I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's just so important. And I just wanted to acknowledge that in today's climate, talking with respect is something that should be practiced more.
Yeah. Yeah. And and even just thinking about travel, you know, with what's happening right now with COVID, it's wild again, you know.
It is wild again.
It's really wild again. And so it's, there's a little added layer when I think about going out and traveling. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like we had those months of like, we're back. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dang it.
I know.
I just want to be back.
I also really liked how she explained how variants happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the replication. She always makes all that sciencey stuff make sense to me.
Attainable. Mm-hmm.
I just appreciate that.
Same. So thankful every time she joins us. So I'm sure we'll have her on again, because we always have a lot of questions about mm-hmm. medical things, and we like to give our opinions, but friends, it is not advice to go
expert.
By.
It's not trust expert.
Do not trust the things we say. Do trust the things Dr. Spinazzi says.
Indeed.
This is true.
This has been such a great conversation. We are going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. And when we get back, it'll be time for our favorite part of the episode. Good news.
All right, friends. I'm here to talk to you about Sheltered Co. It's a wonderful quality company that makes weighted blankets. It's the only crocheted weighted blanket on the market. Its sturdy pattern will last over time, and it gets better and better with time. It comes in 3 sizes to choose from, and new colors come out every month. This quality blanket was created by a mother who has an autistic daughter, and she knows the importance of regulating your body and the need for better sleep. So if you are in the market for a quality weighted blanket, please check out Sheltered Co. It's crocheted by hand in Los Angeles with deadstock fabric that has no added filler. So you can head over there now, use the discount code LUCKYFEW15 for 15% off. And you guys, you won't regret it. This blanket, I have 2 of them myself. I love them for me personally and for all of my kiddos. It does get better with time, softer, and it's so gorgeous and will make any room in your home look so comfy and cozy and beautiful. Head over to shelteredco.com, use the LUCKYFEW15 for 15% off, and grab yourself a blanket. You won't regret it.
All right, we're back, and it is time for some good news. Truly, take it away.
Time for good news, time for good news. Everybody, welcome to the good news. Yeah, yeah.
So, what are we celebrating this week, friends?
I have a good news. Mason and August have done a week of school, mm-hmm. a week and a half. And my good news is Macy went to lunch on one of the days last week and ate with some friends from her class. And that is some good news.
That's beautiful news. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, good. How did you know? Did she just tell you?
No, one of her teachers told me. Well, she told me too. I knew to ask, and she did say, that she ate with a friend. I think her name is Maya, but I'm not sure. So that made me happy.
I love that. I have my good news involves a friend too. We had our dear friends from San Francisco out visiting. And this is, if you guys follow me on social media, Jonah has shared a birthday with Ace. They're 2 days apart. And they have just been buddies their whole lives. And we had Jonah in our house for a week. And it's been a year since they've seen each other. And from the beginning, like every time I talked about Jonah coming, Ace would get excited. When Jonah showed up, Ace was just, Ace does this thing where he doesn't look people in the eye, but he just goes up really close and hugs them with all his heart. And he just so kept cute. Finding Jonah around the house and just like putting, Jonah's like a whole head taller than him. Ace kept just like laying his cheek against his chest.
Oh my gosh.
It was just so sweet. And it made me so happy that it's hard with him being nonverbal and hard with so much of the time he's in his own bubble and to see that he remembers his friend, loves his friend, was just happy to be with him. And also to have a friend who knows him so well, Jonah just like is here for it. He just understands Ace and wants to be with him however Ace wants to be with him.
Sweet. And
it was really cool.
Love it. So sweet.
I love it. We have a good news from a listener. Jenna Pizzarelli says, Jake, who is 12, graduated elementary school and will start middle school in September.
Dun, 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 dun.
I like that this is good news to her.
I'm really happy for her. We all have different perspectives.
on middle school. That is good news. I'm excited for you, Jake.
Yes. Good job, Jake. We are proud of you.
Oh, friends. Okay. So let's wrap this up. This was a great conversation. Thank you all for joining us. And as always, friends, we want to hear from you. Leave us a voicemail or a DM on Instagram and share about your family and your good news about your loved one with Down syndrome. And if you have a product or business that wants to help us shout the word to people with Down syndrome, then we'd love to partner with you. You can email hello@luckyfewpodcast.com for our sponsorship opportunities. A huge thank you to our editor, Josh Avis, our producer, Val Schleter, our sponsor, and all of you who have shared the Lucky Few podcast with friends and who have listened faithfully and cheered us on. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. And remember that you, dear listeners, supporting your loved one with Down syndrome, you are a shouter of worth and a narrative shifter. So keep on keeping on. We're cheering for you. Bye, friends.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.